When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Dr. Dish. I was going to say that, but I do love Dr. Dish. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. I do love Dr. Dish, and the reason they're on the top of my brain right now is because they give back so much, and they are a great partner, and we are so excited that they are partners with Coach Unplugged. To mention Coach Unplugged, and they'll give you $350 off. We're also excited that teachhoops.com is also a sponsor of this podcast. It is literally what allows us to keep the lights on. It is what allows us to put this out 7 days a week. If you like these podcasts, come over and join it. It's a great way for you to give back to our community. All right, let's head off to the podcast.
And do you have anything that you do specifically to build intensity? Because people ask that all the time.
A lot of times just, I'm coaching high school girls right now. And a lot of times just making it competitive, gets their fire going a little bit, or giving them stipulations that I know is going to irritate them. That's a heavy one too, because, well, that's not going to happen in a game. Well, you don't know that.
You might not be able to dribble the ball at all ever.
Yeah. So those are things that, get them going. I mean, we do a lot of, meeting at the beginning of practice, talk about thought of the day, that kind of stuff, and really kind of get ourselves focused. But
So dive into that. Dive into your beginning of your practice. I think that would intrigue people.
Yeah.
Like, well, the quote of the day and things.
Well, that's one thing that I got from Coach McDermott. I felt like, and I've been with other coaches that have done it, but it really resonated with him because he always had such great things to say. And he encouraged his players to think on it, not just listen to it, but think on it. And he always revisited it at the end of practice. And I felt like that was kind of important too.
And did the quote change for an opponent, or did it change every day? Or was it like, what do you do?
I do one every single day, a different one every single day.
Okay.
And sometimes it could be the mood I'm in, or the mood they're in, or the team we're about to play, or, okay, whatever kind of feeds into it. So, and then they always, after that, we team out, and we actually have a saying that we do that I stole from our junior high coach. This guy came in. I love what he does. He's kind of an old timer, but, he's a lot like me in terms of, he expects the best. I say the word be, and they say loyal. I say be aggressive, be relentless, be brave. And then Lady Braves on 3-1-2-3 Lady Braves, and we clap twice. And it's just kind of our thing that leads into, we fist bump all the managers, make sure they know that they're still a part of everything, and then start stretching.
Okay. And then you go stretching right into drills. Is that the way you run at the beginning of your practice?
Well, stretching actually right into footwork. We don't work with a basketball right away. We do footwork that's based around the lane lines.
Okay.
1 foot hops, 2 foot hops, some gallop steps.
And our girls do that too. And a lot of that stuff, especially for girls with ACLs and stuff, all that movement stuff is really important, even more so than boys. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, build strength around the knee, build strength up the leg, and those are, when you see people kind of, half speed it, you kind of tell them, you don't have to do this quick, but you have to do it right. And
right,
that's what builds the strength and the confidence. Right.
Yeah. So if you could, if I came into your practice and watched your practice, what would I, and I come in for 5 minutes, some point in your practice, what would I see? Like, what would I be able to tell?
Well, the one thing that I've been told, cause I've had college coaches come in to watch players.
Right.
They feel like I run it very much so like a college. It's very organized. Kids are always moving. I don't like a lot of standing around. And so our drills are designed to not have to be that coach that says, all right, we're going to run 10 sprints at the end of practice.
Right.
They're going to feel like they've been sprinting the entire practice. And they don't sprint the whole practice, but everything that we do is trying to be game speed. Everything we try to do is trying to be, you know, from one spot to the next, they got to be pretty diligent on getting there and ready to listen. So
right.
That's what I think you probably see most.
Okay. If you could only do three things at practice, what would they be? Like three, only three.
So three drills or three?
Three. It's just, that's open. That's open-ended. You could only do three things.
Well, I would still start the same way. I think setting the tone, setting the focus is key. And then I would certainly work on the defensive side of the basketball because, again, you can score 30, but if you give up 40, it doesn't matter. And then from there, again, just, you know, working on simple fundamentals, I mean, is key.
Right.
And you obviously – we get more than three things, so you build from that. But those are kind of the three staples that we.
Okay. Is there one moment in your coaching career that we could dive into that would help a listener? So it can be anything. It can be a success. It can be a failure. But something we could dive into that they could learn from. Because I always like that from other coaches that there's something that's happened to you, either good or bad, that a listener could learn from.
Well, I think the thing that I've learned most, especially with, coaching, I've had coaching both genders. It's not always what you say, but how you say it. And
amen.
and that's something I still have a long ways to go on. I think, you know, I don't cuss and swear and go crazy like that. I'm just loud. But you know, there was an incident, at the school I'm currently at right now that, and not to dive too deep into it, but there, you know, I've been challenged quite a bit from my grade administrators or administration team, some parents and things. And I think the thing I learned when I first got down to Council Grove was you got to be open and honest. I've always been open and honest, but you kind of have that wall up still as a coach. You don't want to go too far.
It's a circle of trust, basically. Your circle of trust is very small. Yeah,
absolutely. And so, I've been, because of those incidents where, I've been challenged a little bit, or I've been, whether it's reprimanded or whatever, I would tell coaches, young and old, that.
Hey, everybody, I hope you're enjoying the podcast as much as I am. If you can stop for a second and subscribe and like, we would really appreciate that. That's an easy way for you to help us out at Coach Unplugged. And we really, that does excite us a lot. I read every one of those reviews. Go over to Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. That would help us out a lot. Also, if you're really thinking of taking your game to the next level, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. 14-day free trial as I speak right now, but a great deal. Come over and join our community. Come over and join like-minded coaches trying to get better every day. And let's head back to the podcast.
You aren't always right. You aren't always going to have the right answers. But what you can do is talk things out with the right people.
Right.
I still don't talk a lot about other kids to other people's parents.
Right.
Unless it's in a positive way, like especially if it's been bad mouthed or whatever.
Right.
But that's what I think. That's probably one of my trials has been learning how to address that stuff while still remaining very open, honest, positive,
and true to yourself. Yeah. I think for young coaches too, you better learn to pivot too, because the game played now is not the game that was 30 years ago when I started. Yeah. And in another 30 years, the game will change again. And first of all, how we deal with the kids changes. how a coach dealt with them in the 1940s and how they deal with them now is different. So you have to be able to adjust your style along with the times too, I think. But still be true to yourself.
Yeah. And that's been kind of my struggle, because I do have enough old school in me to where I did believe in 100% discipline, and I did believe in, getting after people if they're not doing things right. I've learned quite a bit about, there's probably just better ways to do that. And so that's kind of the journey I'm on right now, is just bettering the way that I approach everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I always, if you know anything about Wisconsin, I always say there's two ways you can drive to Green Bay from Madison. You can go to Milwaukee first and then go up, or you can drive straight to, there's more than one way of getting to a specific spot. But I think it's a journey. It's like anything in life. What do you think the hardest concept to teach is?
Like I said, I think, you know, the intensity that I'm looking at for the, on the defensive end is kind of been the toughest thing. But again, that's from year to year. Some kids pick up on it quickly, buy into it.
But is there one specific, so I wasn't specific enough in that. Is there one specific, like, do you believe it's screening? Do you believe it's rebounding? Do you believe there's one specific fundamental, let's put it that way for you, fundamental that's hard for us to teach or you to teach? That's a better question. Fundamental.
That's great. I think that, you know, we're never finished products and I can always keep learning. I don't feel like there's a significant weakness, but like off the ball defense, I think is something that I've really worked at trying to explain. It's been, you know, because you can talk about one pass away, two passes away, and you know where you're supposed to be, and tell them that, but getting them to translate from what you tell them, that's kind of been maybe
the. And do you think that's different than it was 10 years ago? Do you think they're not learning that at the younger ages as well?
Yeah, well, because a lot of teams play zone at the youth leagues, and so, you know, it drives me nuts.
Oh, gosh.
And I think they, you know, I've argued with people on this before. I think they should learn zone, but I don't think that's all they should play. I think there's concepts that, you know, zones can show you just like concepts man can show you.
Yeah.
But you can't make your whole staple about never teaching a kid just because your kids are, you know, slow or maybe not as skilled. They're never going to get there if you don't do it.
Yeah. No recruiter's ever going to ask how your fourth grade team did. Trust me.
Yeah, absolutely.
But part of it is, I think we got dads and moms coaching and they don't know. You know, they know what they learned and they don't know. I mean, it's easier to throw them in a zone than it is to teach the man principles. It is.
Well, and nobody can shoot from the outside when they have to heave it from their knees. So,
right.
A zone right. Looks like a genius.
And it should be I didn't let my son shoot a 3-pointer until he was in eighth grade. Sorry, yeah. God, in a game. Yeah. Cause it's not, you're not strong enough. It's like this, yeah. It's the two-handed push thing. It's like the basket should all be at 8 feet. I mean, it's don't get me started on that. That's a whole,
I could probably go too on that.
I could go for hours on youth basketball and AAU. I could do a whole thing. If you could talk to one coach for an hour, anybody, doesn't matter, living or dead, who would you talk to and why?
You know, that's a great question. Cause I've talked to a lot of coaches that I've really admired. But I think one, and I'll tell you this, I regret not doing this because I saw him on a train, but he was being bothered. And so I didn't want to be the other one that bothered him, but I would love to talk to Tubby Smith. You know, Tubby Smith,
well, you're going to have to hook up with Eric. You're going to have to hook up with Eric at the clinic then in October.
Oh yeah. Well, that's the thing is when I saw him from a distance, that was at the time he was still at Kentucky.
Right.
My best friend, it was a huge Kentucky fan. I wasn't, but I was a huge Kentucky fan, you know, and just the rich history behind his hiring at that school, and what it meant for him to win a national championship in his first year. You know what I mean? Those right. types of things where, what a worldly amount of knowledge I think he'd be able to give. Cause
yes.
he can sit at a Nike clinic and, you know, I've listened to the Bob Hugginses and Bobby Knights and everybody and, you know, even people that I know, but he would be one that would be like a bucket list coach for me because he's seen a lot and right. been a part of a lot that's not just basketball related.
Right. Okay. Do you have any superstitions?
No, actually, I don't believe in those.
Really?
Yeah. I actually had a college.
You might be a first.
I had a college professor try to challenge me on it. And you know, it's kind of ironic. I actually just got back from a men's encounter this weekend, that was very Christian based, very, you know, yep. in your, you know, revival kind of thing. And it was very moving and I definitely needed it. But that's all the superstition I need is that I know that whatever's going to happen has already been planned out.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I've had talked to coaches about this too. It's really about ritual for me more than superstition.
Yeah.
Like the word superstition means if I don't eat, drink the soda, we're going to lose. I've never thought that.
Yeah.
It's more like this is how we do our pregame. This is how we do, you know, those are the superstitions that I kind of fall on.
Hey, everybody. I hope you're enjoying this. Make sure if you want to hear more, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. If you want to hear other podcasts, go over and check out High School Hoops and Teacher Side Gig by Coach Collins. And subscribe, like, review all of them. 5-star reviews would be nice. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.